The Lord be with you. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. It's a simple thing. Why don't you just show us God? Then we'll be happy. We'll be content if you just show us God. And Jesus' response is to say, you know, if you look at me, you see all of God that you need to know. Which is great as long as you've got Jesus sitting at the table with you. But Jesus tells his disciples this as he is preparing to die, as he's preparing to ascend to heaven to no longer be visible to his disciples. And so he tells them, okay, so if you want to see God, look at me. But if you can't see me, don't worry, because we're going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, and you'll know God through the Holy Spirit, who Jesus describes as an advocate. Okay, well, what does that look like? Well, to understand what an advocate looks like, I want to tell you a story about a young woman named Sally Azar. And I've got a picture of her here. There's Sally with her dad. Her dad is a Lutheran pastor in Jerusalem. And she grew up as the daughter of a Lutheran pastor in Jerusalem. And at age 13, the Lutheran Church in the Holy Land made a change to their policy to say women could now be ordained in the Lutheran Church there. Very exciting for 13-year-old Sally, except when she was 13, no women got ordained. When she was 14, no women got ordained. When she was 15, 16, 17, 18, no women got ordained in her church in the Holy Land. And she thought, that's kind of odd. And she said to herself, well, maybe it's because the women here have never seen a woman as a pastor. Maybe they need someone to go first to show them. And a little voice inside her said, well, maybe that first person could be you. And maybe that's what an advocate looks like. Maybe an advocate is that still small voice inside you that says, the world has a need. Maybe God is calling you to fill it. Maybe. So when she turns 18, Sally goes off to college. She studies theology in a university in Lebanon. And there are other women who are also exploring the possibility of ordination. And at the end of those 4 years, at their commencement, the president of the university calls upon the women who've graduated. He says, go forth and be leaders in the church. The time is now. The Holy Spirit is calling you. And indeed, one of the women in Sally's class goes on to be the first woman ordained in Lebanon. And two others become the first women ordained in Syria. But there are still no women being ordained in the Holy Land. And sometimes I wonder if maybe that's what an advocate looks like. Maybe an advocate is someone who stands up and gives a fiery speech that says, you can do it. This is God's time calling you. Maybe that's what an advocate looks like. Well, Sally certainly took that speech as one advocating for her. And so she went on to continue her studies. She went to seminary in Germany, studied good Lutheran theology from the source. And after 4 years there was another woman, also from the Holy Land, who was preparing to get ordained, but she looked at where she had come from and she said, you know, I don't know if they're actually ready for a woman to be a pastor there. And so she took a call somewhere else, not in her homeland, and there were still no women ordained in the Holy Land. But while this was happening, Sally's dad, that pastor in Jerusalem, had become bishop. And also, the church in the Holy Land came to this realization that they had accepted 12 years earlier this idea of gender inclusivity for their church, but it had been just a document, a piece of paper. And if they were going to live it out, they needed to make some real changes. And one of the curious things about the Holy Land is that family law, matters of divorce, inheritance, custody, it's not dealt by state courts, it's dealt by religious courts. And every religion has their own family court system, including the Lutheran Church in the Holy Land. And so the pastors, all of the men, while Sally had been off studying, had started to say, how can we put our beliefs into practice? And they said, let's start with this family court system. Because at the time, the family court system in the Holy Land, even for Lutherans, said, in a custody battle, women have no rights. the father gets custody, and if the father's not available, then the father's father takes custody before the mother. In the Holy Land, it also said, when it comes to inheritance, women have no rights. All the money needs to go to a male heir. And it also said, women cannot use abuse or domestic violence as grounds for divorce. And so the leaders of the church said, maybe we should ask women about this. Fascinating idea. And so they got together a panel of 5 Lutheran women in the Holy Land. And those women began talking about the changes they needed to see happening in this court system. And I will tell you, those changes were not popular. But these male pastors walked alongside these women. And they would have meetings in church fellowship halls and basements, just like we have church meetings here. And sometimes at those meetings, when this panel of women would set forth the proposals to the family law that they saw needed, half the room would stand up and walk out. But the pastors of the church stood by those women and kept walking with them. And eventually, they passed changes to the Lutheran family court system in the Holy Land, giving women equal rights in terms of custody, giving women equal rights in terms of inheritance, and allowing women to bring forth evidence of domestic violence to seek a divorce. When Sally Azar graduated from seminary in Germany, her dad said, things have changed since you've left. Maybe not completely, but we've been laying the groundwork. It won't be easy, but if you want to seek a call back here in your home, I want to encourage you to try. And I wonder if sometimes that's what being an advocate looks like. If it means having hard conversations in meetings late at night. It means being willing to sit with people who are mad when you are proposing something new. It means willing to take the heat so that someone else can step into the future. Jesus, he tells his disciples that they are going to continue on his ministry, and most of his disciples, they're simple people from the region of Galilee in the north of Israel, farmers, maybe a tax collector, women who are looked at askance because they've walked away from their families to follow this guy Jesus around the countryside. And Jesus sends them forth to do ministry first in that region they come from in the north in Galilee, and it goes pretty well. But now Jesus says he is going to leave them and he needs them to carry on his ministry, first in Jerusalem and then in the whole world. And let me remind you, on Good Friday, the disciples see how well that ministry goes in Jerusalem. And now they're being asked to take it to the whole world? What chance do they have? But Jesus says, don't worry, I will send you an advocate who will be with you and in you. Because Jesus says, when you can't see God, look for Jesus. And when you can't see Jesus, look for that advocate. Now, I will tell you, Sally got a call, was offered a call, to a Lutheran chapel in Jerusalem, an English-speaking Lutheran chapel, even though the majority of Lutherans in the Holy Land are Arab-speaking Palestinians. She was offered this call, but her dad said, you should know, it's not going to be easy, because this is controversial, not because Sally was the first Lutheran pastor to be offered ordination in the Holy Land. She was the first Christian pastor to be offered ordination in the Holy Land. In the Holy Land, there are many, many Orthodox churches. There are many, many Catholic churches. There are Miaphysite churches from Egypt and Ethiopia and Armenia, right? Thousands of years of tradition of Christianity in this place. And they've never had a woman pastor. And so the question became, if Lutherans ordain Sally, what will the other Christians think? You see, here's the thing about an advocate. An advocate can say, hey, you have a call. An advocate can give you a fiery speech. An advocate can try to lay the groundwork and open the door for you. But at the end of the day, if you want to step into that future that the advocate is calling you to, it requires you to step out in faith. And so Sally said, let's do this. And they scheduled an ordination for January of 2023, which just by coincidence, happened to be the exact same time I was in the Holy Land. And I knew nothing about Sally. I had no idea about her story. But my colleagues did, and my colleagues said, "Ben, you have to go. Bring your white robes and your red stole." And they shoved me in a taxi, and they sent me over to Jerusalem, where I had never been before. And I got out with them, and we started walking down into the heart of Jerusalem. And I started to hear this noise, a rumbling. And I started to see this crowd, and I turned to them and I said, "I know this is controversial. Do you think there's like a riot happening?" And they said, "I don't know. Let's keep going." And so we got further, and I saw suddenly a line of people in uniform. And I said, "Has it gotten so bad that the police have been called out to keep order?" And I got even closer, and I saw those people in uniform were scouts. It was a marching band of Lutheran scouts. They even had Martin Luther's seal on the back of their handkerchiefs. And they were a marching band. They were filling the streets with a joyful noise. And I looked to see who they were leading, and it was a line of people in robes with red stoles. And they were pastors. Pastors and bishops, but I will say their outfits, they didn't all look like my outfits. Some of them had these strange cravats and others had Elizabethan ruffle collars. And I realized these are pastors, Lutheran pastors from every nation where our church exists. All across the world, they had come in their different garbs and their different uniforms. And not just pastors, they were bishops. Dozens of bishops, more bishops than I have ever seen in my life. They filled this street. And this went on for 3 blocks. Jesus says, "When you can't see God, look at me. And when you can't see me, look at the advocate." And on the day of Pentecost, the advocate shows up among the disciples, shows up like fire because sets them ablaze for the mission they have for Jesus. And like a mighty wind pushing them out of their room onto the streets of Jerusalem. And there the Holy Spirit gives each disciple the power to proclaim God's mighty deeds in whatever language someone needs to hear what God can do through them. And when people who are in the streets say, "What is this? This can't be," tries to write them off, saying, "Aren't those Galileans? Aren't those rustic hicks from up north? They don't know anything. Why should we listen to them? Or maybe they're just drunk." The Holy Spirit speaks through Peter and say, "No, friends. Let me tell you what's happening here. What's happening here is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel, who said, 'In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall have visions and your old men shall dream dreams.'" That's what's happening today. You see, we like to come up with so many reasons why God can't speak through someone, why the Holy Spirit can't work through someone, even ourselves. We say, "Oh no, they're too young or they're too old, they're from the wrong country, they speak the wrong language, they're the wrong gender." But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes forth as an advocate to make sure every single person hears in their own language and the way they need to for themselves, to hear that the very person that you think God's word can't be heard through, well, that person is the one through whom the Holy Spirit is going to speak. Because Jesus says, "When you can't see God, look at me. And when you can't see me, look for the Holy Spirit, that advocate who abides with you and in you." And I will tell you, on the streets of Jerusalem, 2,000 years after that first Pentecost, I saw a second Pentecost. I saw the advocate. And so I am here to tell you what God looks like. God looks like a row of pastors stretching as far as the eye can see from every corner of this earth, speaking Arabic and English, Swahili and Swedish. But no matter what language they speak, they all say the same thing to one person. It doesn't matter if people say this is the wrong country for you. It doesn't matter if people say you're crazy for trying it here. It doesn't matter if people say you are the wrong gender, for today is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel. For today God has poured out the Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. O daughter Sally, the Spirit is upon you. Today you shall prophesy. God looks like this. God looks like a father who his whole life has told his daughter, you can be anything, and his neighbors have told him, uh-uh. God looks like this when that father gets to place the stole of ordination on his daughter's shoulders, and Lutherans from across the world say, amen. And God looks like this. It looks like a pastor from Chico who has absolutely no idea what he's getting into, being pushed into a procession down the streets of Jerusalem. And fun fact, in a liturgical procession, because the last shall be first and the first shall be last, the least important spot is at the very front of the procession. So when this strange, random person from Chico shows up, he gets pushed to the very front. Which is how I ended up photobombing this photo, which appeared on the cover of Al Jazeera newspaper, the Arabic newspaper that's broadcast across the Arab world. I love this picture. Because in this picture, you can see those humble, hardworking Palestinian pastors who laid the groundwork for Sally. You can see an acolyte from Germany carrying the cross where she received her education. But most of all, you see Sally. Standing there, confident in God's grace, hearing the Spirit's call, and behind her you see me! This random person who has no idea how in the world he got to be here, but praise God, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen, and I can't wait to share it with the world. You see, sometimes God will use the crowds to tell you, you are someone through whom the Holy Spirit will speak. And I want to make clear, that doesn't mean being a pastor, because there are an infinite number of ways through which the Holy Spirit might speak through you. But sometimes God is speaking to someone else. And sometimes God needs a whole city street filled with people speaking every language so that the world might know that God can speak through this person too. And when that happens, it may be that you are someone who can share God's word in that moment in a way that no one else can. And God will need you. And maybe it will be that if God's going to fill the street, God just needs some fillers and you happen to be available, so get out there. But either way, in that moment, what the advocate looks like, what God looks like, is you. This summer, I will engage in a spiritual practice throughout my sabbatical, and I want to invite you to do the same. At the end of every day, I'm going to write in a journal, today I saw God blank. And I want you to do that too. Because maybe, like Jesus at his baptism, you will see God in a dove descending. And you will hear a still small voice say inside you, oh, you too are God's beloved child. Or maybe, like Moses, you'll see God in a bush that says, you have a calling, get out there and do it. Maybe you will see God in a crowd of people working behind the scenes to open a door for someone else. But here's my bet. Before the summer is through, someone will have seen God in you. When we can't see God, may we look to Jesus. When we can't see Jesus, may we look to the advocate. May we look to the advocate in each of us. May we be the advocate for each of us until all are one in Christ. Amen.